I preach to our students. So you have a dream about Joseph had a dream. This morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. So glad you're here. Good to see each one of you. So glad we have visitors keep coming back. You visitors keep coming back and eventually join the church. Amen? Yeah. By the way, we had several join last week. I didn't get them in the bulletin this week, but next week I'll put them. We had so much. But we had several families join, four families join last week. It was what a blessing. Amen? We're so thankful to have them, and I'll make sure I put them in the next week's bulletin. But we're thrilled that you're here, each one of you. And so glad to see Ella. Well, what a blessing. Amen. By the way, we're so glad that Libby Jewell's daughter came through the heart surgery doing tremendous. So we're thankful for that. Alrighty, I want to talk to you this morning about the Institute of Marriage. The Institute of Marriage. People say that's a dying institute. Well, it shouldn't be a dying institute. God ordained it. He sanctified it, set apart. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm getting more like Lester Roloff, Eddie. The last thing I do is what I preach on. You can always tell wherever Roloff was reading the Bible, that's where he would preach from it. And I was reading there, and I was in a wedding yesterday. I said, I think I'll preach on weddings, amen, marriages. And you can't preach enough on marriage anyways, by the way. And notice in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. That's why Dale's going to marry Diane in a couple months. That's why Larry's got a break coming up in July, I think, if I remember. And so, and I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. Now, you're a giraffe, you're a monkey, you're a lion. No, I'm not lying, you're a lion. Get it? And, I'm on a roll today, kids. Preacher's on a roll. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to fowl the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam. They all had mates, but Adam didn't. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Now, teens, you know what this is because you're in a deep sleep all the time. Most of the time. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took little Lukey. They told me they put that mask over little Lukey, and he didn't want, so he held his breath as long as he could, and finally went, a little tear came down his eye, but they got little Lukey. But by the way, first anesthetist right here. You put people to sleep. They got it from the Bible. Are you with me? Notice, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. My boy, when Lukey woke up, and I tell you, he's throwing his, beware, he's back. Do not get close to my grandsons where he can strike you in the face. He punches his papa and his dad all the time, and he hasn't learned yet that it's just papa and dad. So please, I'm warning. We're trying to control him. Yeah, red alert. Thus, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And if you get close to look, he's going to put you in a deep sleep too. And he's got a tremendous right hand. He took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And they've been in the pain of sight ever since. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. I am kidding. And by the way, Eddie's been beating Lizzie for the last 4 weeks in attendance in their classes. Are you doing word number one, I hope, Eddie, in your class? Amen. Loud enough for Lizzie to hear it? She's gonna get you now, Eddie. I hope she has 50 next week. And brought unto her a man, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, I gotta get this done so I can preach. And Adam said, "This is—it's bad when I get pumped up like this. It's bad." It's really bad. Josh says, I know, preacher. We know. We've been through it with you. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She, not a he. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Look at 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Indeed, it's pure and precious, profound. And Father, we just thank you for it. And Lord, I just pray today I can be a blessing. Help me be an encouragement to the young people and old people alike. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I mentioned earlier, yesterday I was in Bowling Green, Ohio, and I was at the wedding of my niece, April. And she married a fine young man, John. Matter of fact, he spells his name just like John Black does. J-O-N, no H. Just like, he's a German boy, a good boy, just a fine boy. I was real neat, Tom, clean cut. He's got Christian people in his background, and we're glad that believe he knows the Lord is his Savior. We're excited about that. Amen? And, boy, his uncle prayed over the food, and I'll tell you, you can just feel the Lord come down when he prayed. And I think she married into I think God gave my niece a wonderful husband, and I think she's got a good family there. I'm excited about it. You know, it's so good to have good families. Amen? And so, I was blessed yesterday to be at that wedding and to see one of my nieces that I haven't seen for a while, be joined in holy matrimony. You know, the Institute of Mary, by the way, they had been going together for 6 years. And they finally, it wasn't something overnight, 6 years. And boy, she's 25. And she's real thin and real pretty. Looks like a little Barbie doll. Amen? And Tammy said, Dad, she looks like one of them Barbie dolls. I said, yeah, she does. And, but the Institute of Marriage, contrary to what people think, it's a wonderful thing. Marriage is a wonderful thing. By the way, there is, for you getting married in the future, marriage is wonderful, but there are some ups and downs to it. But I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful thing, and God's ordained it. Amen? God has sanctified and ordained marriage for man and women. God's word condemns men with men, women with women, but he's ordained a man with a woman. I want to read to you. Hold your hand in Genesis. Don't leave it. But I just want to read something to you from Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. There'll be a day that they won't let preachers do this, but I'm going to keep doing it until they silence my voice. They're already putting preachers in California for preaching stuff like this. All we're doing is quoting the Bible. But we're having a country that was founded on the Word of God starting to hate the Word of God and turn against it. Notice, this Bible either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. For the name of God, in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed, verse 25, Romans 1, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Those aren't good affections. They're vile. They're evil. Vile. For even their women did change the natural use into their, which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one to another. Men with men. Working that which is unseemly and receiving himself the recompense of their error, which was meat, and as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'm going to tell you right now, God does not approve of same-sex marriages. God's not for gay rights. God is for a man and a woman coming together in holy matrimony. Amen? And so, in 2006, the Bible is still true. Even though San Francisco doesn't believe it, they will someday. Don't let the trends of San Francisco make you an abomination to God. Now notice, the Bible teaches that God blesses the marriage of a man and a woman. He blesses that. He honors that. He sets it apart. Proverbs 18:22, Brother Larry Jr., coming up, going to get married. Preacher, you're picking on me. I won't do it no more. Embarrass him. But Larry, and Dale, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. That's a thing you got next to you, Dale. But it's a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And Jack, obtaineth favor of the Lord. Brother Cooley, when you got married to Robin, God gave you favor. Jack, when God gave you your precious wife, He gave you favor. He blessed you. You know, sometimes I think we forget our blessings. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Fellas, can I just say this? I know it isn't Father's Day, but I'm going to tell you, we need to, our wives are a blessing to us. Once in a while, Brother Jack, we need to tell them, like about every day, thank you for being, I love you. Fellas, when's the last time you told your wife you loved her and meant it? All the hands started to go, then they went back down. My, I'm telling you right now, marriage is not always roses, but I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing from God. There are ups and downs in marriage. And I'm not going to deceive anybody, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad at 37 years I got to spend with me, with I think the greatest lady in the world, my wife. And thank God for my wife, Rosie. And you men, I'll thank God for your wives. Amen? And Hebrews 13:4 says this. Can you imagine Rosie put up with me for 37 years? She keeps her word till death do us part. She just wants to know when I'm going to depart. Kidding. Hebrews 13:4 says this. Marriage is honorable. It's an honorable thing. Although people nowadays don't care about marriage. But it's an honorable thing. It's a good thing to do. What my niece did yesterday was an honorable thing. Marriage is honorable. My other niece got married a few years ago, and Holly, and they had a little boy named David. And boy, he's only 7 months old, but boy, his daddy's a big man, and boy, he is a big boy. And he come up to Uncle Rich, and man, they sent me pictures of him. I swear they could win a contest with it. Most kids are not cute, but there are a few kids that are born that are cute. He's one of them. Jack Dollar's kids are cute. I want to tell you, right? I told Jack and Jen, I said, I think their babies could have won the contest in the baby contest. Well, I'll tell you, now my little nephew, little David, I want to tell you, he is cute. They brought my sister, who's his grandma, brought him up to me and said, here's your Uncle Rich. Because I never had seen other than just in pictures. It's kind of hard when you live hundreds of miles away from people. You don't see him. And I held him for like 10 minutes. He never cried. And he looked at me and dropped his nook, but fortunately she had a thing on it and kept my back on. And I forgot about those days. And I put my hands around him and I held him up and I asked God to bless him and pray that he would grow up to know Christ as his Savior. And just thank God for the children. Amen. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Happy as a man has a quiver full. Well, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And listen, for 6,000 years, God Almighty has instituted marriage in the home. By the way, we kids, I know they tell you in school, not in our school, because you're going to a real school now, but not that the others aren't real, but they're not as good as ours. We're number one. Anyways, we got the best principal, we got the best teachers, we got the best everything here, and we got the best Savior, amen?
Amen.
They're going to teach you, the world teaches you, that man's been here millions and millions of years. Don't believe that. We've only been here 6,000 years. The Bible gives you the whole history of mankind. And the Bible, the Old Testament spans around 4,000 years, and you have 2,000 years now since Jesus. So man's been here around 6,000 years. Amen? And so I don't care what they say about fossils and everything else. Listen, I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to take God's word. Amen? And so, listen, and look how bad, and look at the shape the world's in at just 6,000 years. How could we go on a million, multi-millions of years if we can't even make it 6,000 years without tearing this country up? Hello? Anyways, 6,000 years ago, God Almighty instituted marriage in the home. By the way, and God started with the first man, Adam, and the first lady, Eve, first woman. And by the way, God instituted marriage in the home before He instituted the church. The home came before the church. Hello? Think about it. There's a reason for it too, by the way. There's a reason for it. Listen, the marriage and home is the heartbeat and the pulse of the church. If you have good marriages and good homes, you'll have a good church. Watch. But if the marriages and homes are in your church are destroyed and deteriorated, the church is as adversely affected. When we have good homes, our church is strengthened. When our families are having all kinds of problems, our church is adversely affected. Our church will be as strong as our homes. So as a pastor, one of my goals is to try to keep our homes strong for God. Hello? Anybody home? Listen. We need to have families that walk with God and that have strength in the Lord and Christ at the center of their home so the church can be blessed. The church will only be as strong as their homes that are members of it. Are you with me? By the way, the reason churches are suffering this in America today, the fundamental churches, because the homes have deteriorated. When the homes are in place, people are in church. When the homes are not in place, people are not in church. Am I making sense to anybody? Listen, now the Lord instituted and sanctified and ordained marriage in the home. And so no matter what people say and what people agree on, marriage is from God. And marriage, God says it will continue right till Christ comes. I'm going to read to you a scripture in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 38 and 39. It's a scripture about Christ coming back. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 and 39. If you'll note that scripture. I'll just start at verse 37. But I'm in Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, how were they, God? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like Noah, God said, you know how the days of Noah were? That's how they're going to be when I come back. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating, drinking. Everybody likes to go out and look at all the restaurants we have. Amen? drinking. People drink over anything. They'll get blown out the Cleveland Browns thing today. They don't care who wins. They just want to drink their alcohol. Hello? And by the way, liquor is bad for you. Amen. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever taketh is deceived thereby. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Let me tell you something. How do you know, preacher? Because I've been there. You don't listen. Look up, you teenagers. You listen to me. I didn't have this plan. You ought to have in your goal in your heart that you'll never let a drop of alcohol get down in your mouth. Amen. I remember as a young teenager, we'd be and guys we thought it was real cool. And sin is fun. I'm going to tell you right now, sin's fun, but there's a payday. And I started with just one beer, Joshy. Just one beer I started with when I was around 14 or 15 years old. By the time I was 18 and 19, I probably was an alcoholic. I'm not proud of it, Andy. I used to drive around in my car with a case of beer all the time, afraid that I wouldn't have beer to drink. That's sad. Hello. Then one day I met a little girl named Rosie Cockrell, and she took me to hear the Word of God, and later I got saved. I'm so glad I got saved. I never quit drinking. I just changed fountains. Amen? And I've got more high on Jesus than I ever did. You let me help you kids. I would to God you'd grow up and say, when I married your kids, say, I never drank an alcohol, didn't have sex before marriage, and we kept ourselves pure, preacher. I want you to know we're pure. I'm pure of the evil, pure of the stuff, and I'm going to live for God the rest of my life. Oh, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you. Don't let Satan destroy your life. I've been in the back room, bar rooms and fights and guns and knives. I'm glad I didn't die back then. I'm glad God was merciful. I've been in the high speed chase cars. If I would have been killed, then I would have died and went to hell. It's not all what it means. By the way, they're always dark in them places. They're always dark. God is light. You go to those places, there'll be darkness because it's where Satan breeds. Stay out of bars. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from those back seats and driving with your girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Hello? I would to God I could help you kids. You know why a preacher's telling you this? I've been there. Robbie, I've been there. And Josh, I don't want you to know what I had to go through. I'm just thankful God saved me and took me out of that. Some of these older people, they've been down. We know. Oh, man, I'm cool. I got drunk yesterday. Yeah, you wake up the next day, man, your head's killing you. Just a little drop of any noise kills you. You're puking your guts out. You got all that taste in there. It's sickening. Oh yeah, I'm having fun, man. Yeah, that puke is a blast. And I don't care if you drink the higher beverage, Coke, after you're drunk. It just tastes horrible. You're sick. Most of the time you lose all your money. Most of all, you lose your character. Well, I want Bethel Baptist to have some kids to grow up with some character. Grow up and say, look up here, and I have to get out of this. Boy, isn't this great on marriage? I'm building your life so you can get married the right way. Anybody can drink. Anybody can drink alcohol. It's the person saying, no, I won't drink. That's the guy that's got more fortitude and character. Anybody can have sex out of wedlock, but it's the people and girls that say, no, I'm going to stay pure. It's the boy that says, no, I'm going to stay pure until I get married. Those are the ones God really blesses. Why don't you have a dream and a goal and a desire to say, man, I'm going to keep myself pure for God. And I'm not going to let Satan destroy my life with drugs and alcohol. I'm going to tell you, if you could talk to a lot of people, and I'm going to tell you, you say, oh, well, you guys did it. Yeah, because we didn't. First of all, I wasn't saved. Second of all, I'm lucky I got saved because most of the time when you get in those clutches, you end up. And you never come back. You never come to Christ. You don't give me a wake up. I didn't have none of this plan. Maybe I'll get to my message. A few years ago, I went to a funeral from one of my buddies named Rick Murphy. He was one of my, he was a child, we grew up together. You know what really got me, Lizzie, when I went to that funeral? I preached it. I preached this funeral. I preached all those people's funeral down there. I started asking some of the guys from North Toledo that I grew up with. They used to run the bars and run in the back alleys and things. Where's him? Where are they? They died of drugs. 15 years ago. Oh, didn't you know, he got in high speed, he died. Didn't you know they're in prison? Most of the guys that I ran with were either in prison or dead. Oh, that's a good life. No, I'm going to tell you, God's ways are the good life. I don't regret living for God the last 35 years of my life, Eddie. I don't think I'd be alive today if I wouldn't have. You're talking about taking vitamins. God's words would keep you healthy. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the word thereto? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11. Amen? Well, that's good stuff. Aren't you glad we're talking about the Institute of Marriage? Let's see if I can find my way back. I never did get to preach what I wanted to do in Matthew. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in days that they were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying. By the way, this is a tribulation passage. This is when Christ is coming back in Revelation. So they're going to be still marrying right up to Jesus coming back. So even though people are trying to destroy the institution of marriage, well, that's what I was trying to show you. Even though they're trying to destroy marriage, God says it's ordained forever. Because, by the way, when this life's over, those that go to heaven, guess what? They're the bride of Christ. We're married to Him. Romans 7:4 says that we're married to Him, even to Him that raised from the grave. That's Jesus Christ, Romans 7:4. Amen? Okay, how many am I losing so far? Let's look at a few things about marriage. Genesis 2:18 says man was alone and lonely. God said it was not good that man be alone. You men, you never realize how important your wife is until she's gone. I can't even find my socks sometimes. I'll say, Rosie, I can't find them. She said, they're right here. You don't think you need that wife of yours? You can't even find your shorts. Plus, she washes them for you. Yet you'll say, boy, I don't know, preacher, the old hag, she isn't what she used to be when I first married her. Look in the mirror, buckle. We ought to just be thankful for what count our many blessings. Amen? Number one, God said it was not good that man be alone. God knew man was a basket case. He Carrie needs you. And without you, he's in bad shape without you. Lizzie, Eddie'd be a basket case without you. It's better with your basket with her, huh? You wouldn't even have a basket without Lizzie. God looked down and said, you know, he saw Adam. Brother McCardle, he saw Adam, he said, that guy needs help. That's why he gave you your precious wife. Brother Leo, that's why he gave you Emmy. Because he looked at Leo and said, that guy needs help. I better send Emmy. He looked at Britt Skyver and said, oh man, look at that kid, that rioter, that street hood. But he's going to get saved. He's going to need a lot of help. I better give him Rosie Cockrell down the street. Amen. Hello. Oh, God knows our heart. He knows what we need. Number one, ladies don't need men. Men need ladies. It says that men needed a helpmeet. Women can baptize, make it on their own. Men need women more than women need men. You know, I know guys don't like that, but that's a true statement. Women do need men, but not as much as men need women. God looked down at Adam and said, that guy needs help. So he made Eve. Number two, God made woman to be a helpmeet for her husband. Genesis 2:18. He said, that guy needs help. I'm making her help me. Ladies, you have one big goal in your life. To be a blessing to your husband. Ladies, you listen to me. We need to strengthen our homes in the Christian church today, and we need a lot of women today that will get behind their husband and support him and strengthen him and encourage him and help him and say, honey, let's go forward for God. We need some encouragers. You're the encourager of your home. And ladies, you need to be an encourager, not a discourager. Your husband don't want to come home and after working all day and you're still there in your nightgown and rollers and smoking. How'd they grow today, pal? Wasn't too bad till I got home. Floor's all dirty. Kids got 3 shots in the diaper and ain't been changed. You wonder why they don't want to come home. You wonder why they don't want to come home. He's a preacher, I don't understand. He never wants to come home. Would you want to come home to that? We need helpmates. We need some Christian women that will rally and really get behind and help their husbands. Amen? I better move on to the next point. Number 3. Let me give you another thought. That one's gonna. I think that shots in the diapers are gonna stick. That thought's gonna stick probably till the rapture. Marriage. Oh, that's good. I didn't have that downer, but that worked good. Listen, I might have to close, Eddie. Number one, God said man wasn't supposed to be alone, so he knew it. Number two, He said women. He made women to be a helpmate. You are. Are you an encourager? Do you stand with your husband? Do you lift him up or do you take him down? Jeannie, God says you were sent to Jack because he was a basket case, and God's counting on you to help Jack. Just like Jackie, God's counting on Rosie to help Preacher. Robin, Coolidge needs you. He really does. You ever notice something? Guys, we're all macho and tough, but when we get a cut or something, we go to... Come here, honey. I'll take care. It's like you're our big mamas. Amen. Just like the boy. Remember, our little boy runs to his mama when he gets when he grows up and gets married. Then he doesn't go to his mama no more. He goes to his wife. She takes the place of his mom. Hello. Oh, she's on a roll. Marriage. God ordained it. Marriage is also God also had a purpose too for to produce children. If possible. It says in Genesis 1, 20, 27 and 28, be fruitful and multiply. Why, I wonder why God wanted to be fruitful and multiply. I'll tell you why. Because he wanted them to raise their children and teach them about Christ. So generation after generation, the truth of Christ would be handed on down. Adam and Eve had a twin boys at the start, Cain and Abel. We believe they were twins. Because she said she conceived and she had Abel, but she didn't say conceived. She had Cain. We believe Cain and Abel were twins. Abel offered up a sheep, a lamb, How did he know to do that? Well, Adam and Eve taught him that. Adam and Eve taught their son how you approach and how you look forward to the coming Messiah, the Lamb of God. That's why they offered up that lamb. Adam and Eve taught Abel and Cain. One son took the truth. The other one didn't take the truth. The truth of the matter is you've got to have the Lamb of God to get you in heaven. It takes the blood, shed blood of the Lamb to get anyone into heaven. Amen? And they taught him that. And down through the years, that great same truth has always been it's been handed down. Amen? Perpetuated. I got it. It's been perpetuated down through the centuries. Now notice, I noted this. Are you putting truth of Christ in your children? That was the purpose of it. Are you putting the truth? Do your children, men, do your children see God in you? Hey, fellas, do your children see the walk of God in your life? In other words, would your child say, I know my dad knows God. I've heard him pray. I've heard him read the Bible. I see his life. He looks to God for things. Does your children see a living God? See, that's what they're supposed to see, Roddy. They're supposed to see a living, real God in our life. Look up here, man. He put us at the head of the home, the spiritual head. And we're to lead spiritually and guide our family in how God would want us. And I'll tell you, that don't mean the woman have to get down and bother and shine your shoes. That's not what God was meaning at all. God was meaning for us to lead and show our family the ways of Christ and be the leader of the home. Yeah, we're supposed to lead also. I agree with that. But it's look up here, fellas. When you show respect as a godly leader, it's easy for that lady to give that back. You're the king and she's the queen. And when you treat her like a queen, it's easy for her to treat you like a king. Hello. Trouble is, we don't have that mutual. You know what I liked about that preacher yesterday? And he wasn't even a Baptist. But I like what he did. He before he married April and John, he quoted something from a film. He was talking about how, and I thought about Eddie White. He said, your marriage is more important than being right. He said, how many marriages are tore up because someone won't say they're sorry because it's not their fault? He said, there's times you've got to forgive even when it's not your fault. He said, your marriage, look up here. How many times have we gotten arguments with our and left tore up when we could have just said, I'm going to forgive her or I'm going to forgive him and let your marriage get stronger and closer? No, we'll let Satan get in our marriages and let Satan get in our lives, and we'll let Satan feed our mind with stuff, and then we get arguments. Instead of being close, we get separated, we fall apart, and then it tears our marriage down instead of builds it up. And I've shared this before, and I know it's getting, the time's going, but one time, I don't know if you were the fault or not, Lizzie. I really don't know. But Eddie came and said, Preacher, Lizzie, he said it was your fault. Now you're in trouble, Eddie. He might not have said it was your fault. I don't remember. He just said, me and Lizzie just got in a big fight, and she's really mad. Years ago. Several years ago when I first came as pastor, and I said, Eddie, I want you to go down to the store here, and I want you to get a big bouquet of flowers, the prettiest set of flowers you can find, and I want you to go back, I want you to go home and give them to Lizzie and tell her you love her. He said, but preacher, I said, I don't care if it was her fault or your fault. Your marriage is more important than it doesn't matter whose fault it is. Your marriage is more important than the fault doesn't matter. Your marriage is more important. Who cares whose fault it is? Your marriage is more important. We care so much. Well, I'm right and I don't care and I'm not giving in. All right, be stupid. Let Satan ruin your life. I said, you go home, you tell her you're sorry, and you act like you really are sorry, and you give her those flowers, and did you get candy for it? I can't remember. You ate the candy, okay. But I said, you tell her you love her, and that you're so sorry. He did what the preacher told him. Next thing he called me back, preacher, we're back. And it was a smooch, smooch night. And those smooch, smooch nights are better than smack, smack nights. And jab, jab, and curse and hard words at each other. Words scar. We need to be careful what we say. Especially the one, seems like we always hurt the ones the most that we love. We take them for granted, that's why. I'm trying to get through with this, and I'm only on the second page. Notice, in Genesis 2:24, in marriage, man leaves his parents, and he makes a new home for his bride. Verse 24 of Genesis 2. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. That means they're to stay together. When you get in a fight, husband, don't run home. When you get in a fight, wife, don't run home. Stay home and work it out. Well, I'm gonna leave for 5 weeks and we're gonna, no, that opens up for something else to happen. Hello? Stay together. And let me help the mom and dads here right now. Marriages are better when mom and dad keep their nose out of it. And a lot of us are got kids that are married now. Mom and dads, you that have got children that are married, keep your nose out of it. Let the kids work it out. Here's what happens. If Kenny gets in an argument with his wife, and he calls Lizzie and goes, Mom, but that same night, Kenny makes up with his wife, and everything's back tremendous, but Lizzie remembers everything he said to her. And now Lizzie says, I hate her so much, I'm going to rip her eyeballs out. Can I tell you, young couples? Let me help you, young couples. There's Jamie, my eyes just said, Jamie, if you and Bobby get into, don't tell your mom. She thinks Bob's a great guy. He is. By the way, he is. Judy and Jamie are two of a kind. Wildcats. Oh no, they're tremendous. They're the spice. But Jamie, if you tell your mom you and Bobby got in a spat, you kids giving up on me already? Okay. Take notes for when you get married, though, okay? Don't go to mom and dad when you get in a fight. Are you kids getting all this? Are you taking notes? If you get in a fight, don't go back and tell mom and dad. It's a horrible thing to do. Levi, if you get in a fight in the future with your future wife, whoever it's going to be, and I'm not trying to get you married right now, you're just still a kid. You ain't even got your driver's license yet. Don't get married. Let me pick on your brother right behind you. Eddie, if you and your precious wife get in a fight, don't go tell your mom what Misty did. Your mom loves Misty, but if you tell her, she's going to hate Misty. Hello? That's the truth. You guys are going to be back the next day or that night. But mom and dad's going to remember, oh, I remember she put her venom in them. See, we love our kids. We love our kids. Anyone does anything to our kids, whoa, I'm ripping your face off. And so, listen, I'm serious. I hope I'm not boring you, but I'm trying to help you today. This needs to be taught in the churches. And I think we're having a lot of breakdown in homes because people aren't being taught. And we need to get our homes back right. We need the kids to stay together and we need the parents to keep their nose out. Well, what can I do? Stay home and keep your nose out of it. Well, how dare you? No, how dare you? God said he's to leave his father and mother and cling unto his wife. Next point. I think I've lingered on that long enough. Jesus went to a marriage just 10 minutes. Look at John chapter 2. I'm going to have to do this real. John chapter 2. I got too much here. John chapter 2. That's what I like about Romans. I can come here and teach for 2 hours and then I'm finally tired. By the way, the Romans Institute is, I pushed it up 1 week. Because there's no way this week I'll be doing all this with Bob Gray. I want to have a week to get ready for it. So, the Romans class will start, it's in the bulletin. I think it's the 26th. Is that the date? Thank you. I want you to look with me. We're talking about marriage today. And I've tried to help you in some things. John chapter 2. Look at John chapter. First of all, number one, Jesus instituted marriage. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. And then, number 2, Jesus went to a marriage. Look at John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And the third day, wonder why they said the third day. What does a third day have anything to do with it? There must be a reason. And the third day, I think I know what it is too. I'm going to let you hang for a minute. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. Jesus was called, and so was his disciples to that marriage. Those, the followers of Christ, those that believed in Christ, were called to the marriage. Now, this was a real marriage. I'm not trying to spiritualize, that really happened. But I think God's trying to, I think there's something even beyond this, if you'll look at it. And of course, they needed more wine, and they filled the 6 water pots up. 6 is the number of man. God made man on the 6th day. 6 is the number of man. And the water became wine. It was a new beginning. It was a new creation. It was a tight, it would show how the new birth, how man needs to be born again. Amen. And we're cleaned by the washing of the water of the word. Amen. By the way, that shows about being born again there. There's a spirit. And if you don't think so, it goes in the same chapter. He goes and he cleans out the temple. After we get saved, what's he start doing? He starts cleaning up our life. Amen. We're the temple of God. After he gets saved, he lives in us. Hello. So there's a lot of spiritual application here. That third day, by the way, Jesus said in the scripture, and Peter says, one day is to the Lord 1,000 years. 1,000 years, one day. Are you with me? And if you took 1 day as 1,000 years, and 3 days would be 3,000 years, right? Are you with me? Come here with me. 3,000. But there's something beyond that. What day did Jesus raise from the grave? The third day. He rose the third day. He rose the third day. Aren't you glad he's risen? Now notice with me. He goes to this marriage, and he and his disciples were called. You know, God's calling out a bride today to marry him. Have you heard his call? Are you going to be in that marriage of Christ? By the way, is he the center of your... these people were smart. This man and lady who was getting married, they were wise. They wanted Christ to be at their wedding. They wanted Christ to have prominence in their home. Is Christ the center of your home? Is Christ an invited guest to your marriage, to your home? Hello? Are you with me? Notice, look at Matthew chapter 22. Christ should be the center of our life, and he should be the center of our marriages. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 1 through 3. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like under a certain king which made a marriage for a son. God's got a son. His name is Jesus Christ. He's going to have a big marriage. And he invites all people to come. As you read this, not many would come. Are you going to be there? Because he's going to have a marriage. Look at this last scripture. I'm going to close. I'm going to have to cut this. Look at Revelation chapter 19. God's going to have a marriage in the near future. By the way, that 3 days, 2 days, he comes back in the rapture, and then the third day is your millennium. The 3 days. Remember, the millennium's 1,000 years. Jesus comes back. I believe he's going to come back in 2 days. That's 2,000 years. That's why I believe he's going to come back. Then he's going to be here 1,000 years for a honeymoon. See, he's going to call us up. Here's the marriage. The wedding happened. Then we went to a reception. All right? We're called up in the rapture, the bride. Here's the wedding reception, right here. We come back after the wedding reception's over. You go on the honeymoon. The honeymoon with Jesus is 1,000 years in the kingdom age. And that's 3 days. Are you still with me? Or did I lose you? I got to close. Let me give you Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. There's a lot of great stuff here. I just don't have time to mess. Come to my Romans class. We'll probably get into this sometime. We get into everything in Romans class. Look at Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad. How can you not be? There's not going to be no sorrow in heaven. Isn't that great? Let us be glad and rejoice. There's no sadness. Just gladness and rejoicing. Amen? I can't wait. Let's be glad and give honor to him for the marriage. I've been talking way back 6,000 years ago. He instituted the marriage. He had a reason. He had a reason for that marriage. It's just showing you a figure of us being married to him. Till death do we part? Hello? By the way, that's why I believe in eternal security, because Jesus is never going to depart from me. When I took him, he took me forever. Hello? I'm glad in eternal security. Amen? Forever? Let us be glad, rejoice, and give honor to him in the marriage of the Lamb. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's the bride, had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, it tells you what it is. It's the righteousness of the saints. Where do you get that? You get the righteousness from Christ when you take him as your Savior. You must have that righteousness of him to get to heaven. It's imputed. Notice verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper. God's going to have it. Of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Preachers not making it up. He started with the first man. He showed a marriage. In the Institute of Marriage, he ordained it. And by the way, we're married to him. Romans 7:4, I quote her, we are married unto him. Romans 7:4, even to him that raised from the dead. That's Christ. He's the only one ever raised from the dead on his own. Amen? Now watch. I know Carrie's a man, but we're the bride. All of us. Amen? Hello, we're all in Christ. Now, I want to give you this last thought when we go. Jesus wants all people to come to the marriage. Are we trying to invite people to the marriage? Are we trying to invite people to Christ? He wants all people to come. How good are we doing inviting people? How good are we telling about our Savior? Question. Have you come? Before I leave, have you come to Christ? Are you going to be in the marriage? Do you invite others? Then there will be a marriage in heaven. Will you be there? In Revelation, it says these words are faithful and true. These are God's sayings. There's going to be a marriage in heaven. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be in that marriage? You got to answer that yourself. Are you looking forward to going there? I am. By the way, the only way you get there is being born again. You must ask Christ to be your Savior, and then you become His bride. Listen, Jesus loves the institution of marriage. Couples, would He be pleased with your marriage today? Couples, would Jesus be pleased with your marriage? If He isn't, we ought to try to make Him pleased. Singles, you that are single, is Jesus pleased with your life? By the way, you're married to Him. By the way, all of us are saved and married to Him. Are we faithful? Do we honor Him? Hello? Do we love Him? Notice, are you walking fruitfully and faithfully with Him? Remember, we are to honor, just like our spouse. We are to do the same thing with Christ. We are to honor, love, obey in sickness and in health, richer or poor, till death do us part. Now those are the marriage vows for people that are getting married. But it's a vow for God too. I'm supposed to love Jesus if I'm wealthy or if I'm poor. I'm supposed to love Jesus if I'm sick or healthy. Hello? It's easy to love when we're healthy. It's easy when things are going good. But do we still love when things are going bad? Hello? He's always faithful to me. Am I always faithful to Him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Institute of Marriage. The world might not understand it, but You are getting ready for the Institute of Marriage for eternity. We're going to be eternally married to You. And so, Father, I pray that we would look at our marriages with the eye of knowing that God's sanctified marriage and separated it and made it holy. It's a special institution that You did at the very beginning, before the church. I pray, dear God, You would emphasize in our hearts today the importance of the marriage. God, please, help every Christian here to see the importance and the relationship of the marriage and the relationship with Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, how many say, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having trouble in my marriage. I don't think God's pleased with it right now. Pray. Would you pray for me that I could work at my marriage?" Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Who else? "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor. My marriage is in trouble. I need to get back and do what God wants. Pray for my marriage." I'm going to say, "Preacher, I could be a better husband." Who'd say that today? God bless you. God bless you, fellas. Who would say, "Pastor, I could be a better wife. Pray for me." Yes, God bless you. Bless your heart. Now let me close with this thought. If you've never been saved, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to miss out on that wonderful marriage supper of God. You're going to miss out on eternity. And you'll end up dying in the depths of hell. where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. But it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Jesus loves you today. He came from heaven, born of a virgin, died on the cross for your sins, rose the third day. He's risen. He's reigning. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's returning, I believe, soon. Are you ready to meet Him? Who would be honest with himself and honest with God? No one's looking. Say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I've never asked Christ to save me. I really don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I really am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But I will pray for you. Preacher, I've never asked Christ to save me. I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone like that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Heavenly Father, I pray that I was a blessing to the people. I pray that I did everything that was honor to you. And I pray, dear God, that the truths that we tried to bring out will stay in people's hearts. I pray for every marriage here, that you would help strengthen every home. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they'll realize that Christ is the only way to heaven and that they look to Him today before it's everlasting too late. And Father, I pray for every husband to be a better husband. I pray for every wife to be a better wife. I pray that you would bless our homes at Bethel Baptist Church. I pray that we would have godly homes. I pray that we would have homes that would please you and that our homes would be led by men that love you and walk with you and serve you. And Father, that our children would see Christ in us and that they would know there's a God in heaven, that God's real. So much that our faith in God would affect faith in our children. I pray that with all my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. But page on, Dave. 375.